Begin with, Lord, I lift your name on high. But first, we'll pray, Father. We thank you so much for this time that we can spend with each other. And we pray that you will accept this praise from us as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show all the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. How great is our God, the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. Let's sing together, how great is our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. And tremble at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All those see how great is our God. And each to age he stands. Each to age he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. This morning for our sermon entitled Open Your Eyes is found in John chapter 4 verses 31 to 42, and I'm going to read the entire passage. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see what the fields, that the fields are white unto harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. So Jesus is thirsty, and he's standing at the well. And the Samaritan woman comes, and the Samaritan woman approaches the well. She's going to draw water, and Jesus says, Give me something to drink. And she says, How is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan, for water? We don't communicate with each other. You don't talk to Samaritans. And he talks to her about drawing out living water, and he tells her everything she's ever done, goes through the litany of all of her broken relationships and the fact that she's not married to the person that she's now living with. And she becomes convinced that he is the Christ. And so she puts her jar down and she rushes back into the town to tell the people, I have found the Messiah. Come and see. And we pick up this story where the disciples see him talking to the woman, but they don't mention it. They want to, no doubt. But then they're urging upon him in verse 31, the first verse of the passage I read, they're urging him to eat because they know he should be hungry by now. And he says, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And his food is to do the will of God, to go and find those that God has chosen before the foundation of the world and bring them to himself. That is what his will is. And he's more invigorated by doing God's will. It's kind of like when you're doing something, working hard on a project, and you succeed at something that was difficult to figure out, you finally figure it out. It's more invigorating to accomplish something than it is then you get from replenishment when you're hungry. He was more excited and more vivified than they were when they finally ate food, because he was doing what God sent him here to do. But they didn't understand him saying that. They're saying, did anybody bring him food? What does he mean? His food is to do. He's already eaten. His food is to do the will of God. He says, do you not say, in verse 35, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. They had walked through this green field to go get food to bring back to eat. And now they're sitting there and they're looking at the greenery, and they have determined just by by looking at it, that there's four more months yet for the grain harvest. He's saying, why are you saying there's 4 months left for the harvest? Look, I tell you, still in verse 35, lift up your eyes. That's why the sermon is entitled, Open Your Eyes. He's saying, lift up your eyes. Well, back in verse 30, it says, the woman is saying in verse 29, rather, come see a man who told me all that I've ever did. Can this be the Christ? She's saying to the townspeople. Then in verse 30, it says, they went out of the town and were coming to him. So the whole town folk are walking through that same green patch that the disciples just came back from, having secured food in town. And Jesus is saying, you're looking at this greenery and you say that the grain is going to be ready to be harvested in 4 months. Lift up your eyes. Don't you see the townspeople coming? And what he's trying to do is draw the attention to the fact that sowing and reaping, there is a delay in the sowing and the reaping process in agriculture. But when Jesus came on the scene, the sowing and the reaping started happening all at once. The space between the two began to shrink. And in fact, what's happened here is that Jesus gave the gospel, so to speak, to this woman at the well. She runs into town, tells the people, and they're coming. And so the sowing was Jesus to the woman, and now the woman to the townspeople, and the reaping is already about to happen. So he says to them, lift up your eyes and look and see that the fields are white for harvest. Don't you see these lost souls coming? There's something that there for you to reap. You're not going to have to wait 4 months like you do with this greenery in front of you. Lift up your eyes and see these lost souls coming. Already, verse 36, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. The time is truncated, and the sowing and the reaping is happening almost simultaneously, is what he's referring to. For here the saying holds true, verse 37, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You didn't labor for this. I gave a word to this woman at the well. She gave a word to the townspeople. I'm telling you, stand up and lead these people to me and disciple them. Here they are. Here's the harvest I want you to pay attention to. So, urgency. We talked about at Art's homegoing celebration that he came here, I believe, he was sent here to Ford River Chapel to teach us three things, one of which is urgency. Here Jesus is teaching urgency. Lift up your eyes and look at all the people that are disconcerted and who are not so sure now about their future, who are wondering how they're going to survive with the rising price of gas and everything is topsy-turvy and upside down, and their whole mooring, the moorings of their life are being moved, and what they were counting on they can no longer faithfully count on. So what you've got a prime opportunity. In other words, they're like these people walking through the fields back to the well to see Jesus. There's people all around you that are ripe for the picking in the respect that they now will pay more attention to what's eternal than they were when they were comfortable and all their needs were met. And so you saw Ark, at least I saw in him this urgency beyond the average. Like I said to you during that service, he would come here and he'd drive his commodities truck into the parking lot and rush into the building, not to talk to me, not to use the bathroom, but to grab tracks off the track rack, stick them in his pocket so he could hand out the gospel while he was distributing food. He was urgent, and he went to his friends over and over again. Jesus is saying we should be those kinds of people. So, as I may have already overstated to you, the reason I requested the board to approve my bringing Dr. Patrick here to conduct a visioning workshop grew out of my own personal insecurity. I had cast what I was calling a vision that of using this property, of building a stage, of having a concert, or the evangelistic concert series. And I started to feel like I was missing something. And I wanted to bring someone in who thought tactfully, as a tactician rather, who thought, who was accustomed to assembling projects and going through the steps in order to accomplish the task. And I think what we learned together is that the vision has already been cast. The vision was cast in the last command that Jesus gave, and it was in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what I was communicating to you was really a strategy. Let's use the land, let's build a stage, let's have concerts, let's evangelize, let's disciple people. And my strategy is just one idea of how we might, as a unique body of believers here at Ford River Community, fulfill the charge that we were given, the Great Commission. Now, having had plenty of time to ruminate over this strategy, having been enlightened by Dr. Patrick, I've come to believe my strategy is valid, but my emphasis needed to be adjusted. And more importantly than my own epiphany that I had is the fact that I want to know what you think. I mean, I'd like to know what strategies you all have in mind to fulfill the Great Commission. In that connection, I'm later today sending out to all of you who I have an email address to the 4+ hours of video from that workshop that you haven't seen. Some of you have, but most of you haven't. And I want you to think about strategies. I want you to do some green light thinking. I want you to take all the guardrails off, and I want you to just do possibility thinking, get a blank piece of paper out and write down thoughts. This is what I think would work. Here's a strategy I think we can employ. And write down as much detail as you can come up with relative to how that strategy can be implemented and sustained, and how many people need to be involved, etc. So I want you to listen to these 4 hours, watch these 4 hours of video, and then I want you to do some possibility thinking. And I want you to put it in writing. If you would reduce it to writing, so that makes your, that'll crystallize your thinking, and it'll be a more important thought if you get it down on paper. And my desire is to agree with you. I want to agree with you on something. I don't just want to say, "I'm the leader, please follow me." I want us to agree on a strategy or a couple of strategies. So there can be a strategy about worship songs. So if the vision is, essentially the vision is, go make disciples. The church that we last attended in Minnesota was Faith Covenant Church of Burnsville, and that theme was to know him and to make him known. That was the vision statement. The vision, again, is already given to us in Matthew 28, but we have to come up with a vision statement. So I want you to do some thinking about that. What do you think the vision statement should be? I think it should be, go make disciples, but that's because I like three words. But that may not be enough. To know him and make him known is one, but think of another. And then I would like you to, again, do some possibilities thinking, to write down strategies, things that you think will work in helping us fulfill that commission. The only reason we're still here on earth is to participate in the great ingathering of those that the Lord will bring. We're doing essentially what Jesus would still be doing if he were here. He said, Father, I've gone to get those that you've pointed out. And all that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to gather in those that will come. And we want to do it intentionally. And one of the great points that was made was that nothing will happen, and I put this in the newsletter, but nothing really will happen, will it? If the leaders, and all of us are leaders, in as much as someone's watching us and following us and being persuaded by us, nothing of any significance is going to occur unless we're each holy in our lives, and unless we're each following the Lord ourselves. He's not going to honor it and spread it. So your obligation as a believer is to go deep into your relationship and into the sanctification process, becoming more like Christ. So your job is to go deep. God's job is to go broad. God's job is to multiply. Our job is to go deep. So we're planters and we're waterers. God is the one that gives the increase. So if we go deep and we become healthy, each one of us, like Dr. Patrick pointed out, when he does his gardening and he's got a healthy plant, it's almost invariable that, it's invariably true that it will produce. If you're walking with the Lord and you're keeping your sin list short and you're in constant communication with him, he's going to make something happen. So I want to close with that thought. And I'm going to sing a refrain with you, where he leads me, I will follow. And then we'll let you have your day back. Excuse me. Where he leads me, I will follow. I've got the wrong key. Where's the piano at? Where he leads. Let's see. He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. All. Church next week, unless it's too icy.